Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the truth is that we all have doubts. Some are small, like, did I lock the door when I left this morning? Or did I send that email that I promised to get out? Some are a little deeper. Is my teenage child really telling me the truth? Or did Lee Harvey Oswald really act alone? And some are spiritual in nature. Do I really believe what I say I believe? Is God really out there? Does he even care? Was Jesus really resurrected? The truth is that every one of us wrestles with doubt at some point. All of us. If you are having some moments of doubt and you think you are alone, well, you are wrong. You are not alone. Everyone has doubts along the way. So our text today, it comes from the Gospel of John. It's another post-resurrection story about Jesus, and it's the story of doubting Thomas. But as I read it, I invite you to pay very close attention to the details of the scripture. I've always believed that Thomas got a bad rap from history, the whole idea of doubting Thomas. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Read this and we'll talk, I'll hear this and we'll talk some more about that. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have come to believe." This is the word of God for the people of God. So this is a famous painting by one of the Italian masters. It's Michelangelo Caravaggio, not the Michelangelo that you are thinking of. He is called Caravaggio. And this is one of his more famous paintings. But did you catch the scripture? Jesus just offers to be touched by Thomas. We're not told by scripture that Thomas actually does it. There is this painting, and maybe that's why Thomas gets a bad rap by history, is there's evidence, perhaps, that he touched him. But the scripture doesn't tell us that Thomas reached out and touched him. So despite this picture, our text is silent about whether he does that or not. What we do know is that Jesus, 8 days prior, had presented himself to disciples in pretty much the same way, just appeared in front of them and said, "Hey guys, how are you?" And he offers to the disciples, "See my hands, see my wounds." And they believe. Thomas wasn't there for the first appearance. Now, theories abound as to why Thomas wasn't there. Nobody really knows why Thomas wasn't there. I think he went to the lake house and took his kids fishing. But what do I know? Our text tells that the others were telling Thomas about it. We have seen the Lord. And Thomas is skeptical. Now, I wonder if this is just sort of an issue of guys being guys. Because if somebody tells me something really incredulous, I'm like, nah. Maybe that's what's happening here with Thomas. When he hears that we have seen the Lord, he's going, I'll believe it when I see it, right? Thomas is not being anything but honest. Here's the thing. Thomas is not alone. Remember our text from Easter just last week from the Gospel of Luke? The women go and the tomb is empty, and they come back and they say, the tomb is empty, and the angel said, he's not here. What did the disciples think? It was an idle tale. Thomas is not alone in this doubting that is going on. The truth of it is that Thomas, in his encounter with Jesus, with the other disciples there, gets nothing more than what the other disciples had got when they first saw Jesus. Thomas sees, he sees the wounds, and he declares, my Lord and my God. That's what we do when we say we have faith in Jesus. We're making that declaration that Jesus the Christ is our Lord and our God. One sight of Jesus, and he professes and believes. And here's the amazing part of this story to me. As Thomas has expressed some doubt to his disciples, and Jesus goes out of his way to make an appearance for Thomas. And I think Jesus is teasing Thomas with this come and touch me thing. He's telling to Thomas, I know you had some doubts. I heard them. Come and touch me. Which the scripture is silent as to whether he actually does or not. But Jesus shows up and he meets Thomas where he is in his doubts. He doesn't admonish Thomas. Thomas, you should have believed already. You heard all the things. You saw all the miracles. No. He meets Thomas where he is with his doubts. Seeing is believing. Do anybody here play baseball? Anybody play at like the high school level? Or have you ever seen a rising fastball? I have. I played catcher in high school. Had a guy that threw 92, 93 miles an hour, and he could make the ball hop. I played old man baseball when I turned 30 in an over 30 league. My son called it Little League for old something. And I caught a former major leaguer, and he could make his fastball go up and away from a left-handed hitter. I have seen a rising fastball. I've caught them, I've swung at them, and missed them. Never did hit a rising fastball. Maybe fouled one off once. But if you Google this, physicists will tell you a rising fastball is nothing but an illusion. That it's physically impossible for a fastball to go up. Their answer to what I am seeing, what others are seeing, is that the ball drops slower than your brain expects it to drop. Therefore, it's an optical illusion. And you know what I say to that? Hooey. I have seen a rising fastball, and no talk from a physicist, no amount of evidence can convince me that a fastball cannot rise, because I've seen it. I've also seen Jesus. I haven't seen the physical Jesus, but we see Jesus today. And we hear Jesus as well. So the text that we read, did you catch that part that was there just for you? He tells Thomas, "Blessed are you, for you believe as you have seen. But blessed are those who believe and have not seen." That's us. That's you. We've not seen the physically resurrected Jesus. But if you look, we see him at work all over the place. We can see Jesus today. Not physically, but spiritually, like the wind that Amanda talked about. We can see the results of his presence in our lives. I mean, I see Jesus in each of you this morning, gathering to worship and sing his praises and affirm what it is that we believe as followers of Christ. I see Jesus in you in the way that you treat one another, as you treat guests that come into our church and are so friendly and welcoming to them that people tell us this place feels like home. It feels like home because Jesus is here and he is in you. I see Jesus in all that you do as a congregation and individuals for others, for all the ways that you help at HAM, bringing peanut butter, which keep bringing peanut butter, we're at 45%, by the way, or go people who go and volunteer at HAM, or distribute food, or people who are involved in our Saturday's Child Ministry, feeding hungry children in our neighborhoods, or our Family Promise Ministry with our upstairs bathroom. Jesus is at work in all of you, in all of those things, and I can see it. Can you? Can you see Jesus at work around you? I see Jesus in our weekday learning center teachers, loving somebody else's child like they love their own. I see it when you pray for others. I see it when we pray together. I see Jesus. And he is all around you. Open your eyes that you might see what Jesus is up to in your life. Just as Jesus spoke to us in today's scripture, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe," Jesus speaks to us today. He speaks to us through Scripture. We still hear from Jesus today. It's why you can read a Bible story for the 58th time, and all of a sudden it's like scales fall from your eyes and you see something new. That is Jesus speaking to you. Jesus can speak to us in our heart. He can speak directly to you in your life through the voice of others or a child. Or he might speak directly to you in a dream or even in a sleepless state. I'll give you an example. I was exploring my call, trying to figure out whether this is really what God was calling me to do. Was this something I wanted to do? And I will tell you, my wife was not at all excited about the prospect of being a preacher's wife. and we had had a particularly difficult conversation. And I was laying sleepless somewhere between 2 and 4 a.m. And I'm praying and I'm talking to God about, hey, I think this is what you want me to do, but... And I hear in my head, Luke. Now, forget the whole Star Wars scene. It's nothing like, Luke, use the Force. But I hear Luke going over and over in my head. And then it says Luke 12. I'm like, oh, awesome. Go back to sleep. And then as that just keeps rattling around in my brain, it's Luke 12, verse 2. And I'm like, well, yikes, I better get up and read this. And the particular Bible I had that day was one of those red letter Bibles that's got all the words of Jesus in red. I opened that up and I read Luke 12, verse 2. You can go home and read it. And it was as if Jesus was speaking to me. I went on and read the rest of the passage. But it literally as if Jesus was speaking to me, Mike Tyson, in my heart. We still hear from Jesus today. You see, doubt is not the enemy. Doubt can be a good thing for us. It can help us to ask questions. It can help us to seek the truth, make us dig for answers. It can make our faith stronger. Thomas had a moment of doubt, and he believed. The danger of doubt is failing to believe at all. Some of us, engineers in particular, but some of us work hard to try to figure out how it all works, how all of this God and Jesus, fully divine and fully human, Son of God, Son of Man, how that all hangs together. And there is an element of faith that is involved in that. And we can find ourselves getting caught up in the next what if. Okay, that makes sense. What if, what if? Let me help you. You can never figure it all out. I'll tell you a secret. You can't tell anybody. Shh. I don't have it all figured out. I don't really know how God really does all that he does. And the truth of it is, I'm glad that I can't figure God out. If I served a God that was so small, I could fully understand it. Is he really worth serving? Our God is so immense that I am convinced that what we see of him is a thimbleful of what God is up to in the world and in the universe. There's a passage from Job in chapter 11 where they talk about the mystery of God. It's beautiful. He paints the stars. The sea trembles at his thought. And these are but a thumbnail of his ways, the scripture says. If you can't believe because you can't figure it out, it's like you saying, well, I'm not getting on an airplane because I don't understand the Bernoulli effect. That's what gives lift to the wings. Or it's like saying, well, I'm not ever going to use my cell phone because I don't really understand how a voice electronically goes from one place to another. If any of you have that really figured out, come tell me and explain it to me. But if you're waiting to believe to get it all figured out, God is too big, and you will never figure it out. What will it take for you to believe? To see Christ at work in others? To hear his word spoken to you? Maybe experience his presence in your life? Or will you just keep asking for more and more? I know a fastball can rise, and I know our Savior is alive, and that He is in this very place. And if you open your eyes, that you will see Him at work in your life. Stop doubting. Stop doubting and believe. Let us pray. Gracious God, help us in our doubtfulness. Provide us assurance of our faith. Help us to see You at work all around us. Help us to hear Your words as You speak them to us. Help us to put aside the noise of the world that we might hear and see You. Father, help us to stop doubting and believe. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.